All right. Hi, everybody. This is RCFB Talk 68. My name is Bob Akhayeri, and I'm going to be joined by my co-host, JD Moore. And today we're going to have a guest. We're having Shannon O'Hare, Nevada's equipment manager. We featured her earlier this week in a fascinating game that was with New Mexico State, where both of them had equipment managers who are women, and there are only four in all of FBS. So we're going to have her on in a moment. As we get this rolling, I just wanted to, we just had to pay some moment to say big news of the day that they're expanding the college football playoff to 12 teams. I just got off the press call with college football playoff executive director Bill Hancock. I just wanted to update that where they're at now. But the most interesting takeaway is they're still trying to resolve, I think, the logistics of those earlier games. So the most interesting thing is the first round games, which are going to be played by host teams rather than at neutral sites. There could be the possibility that the college football playoff may be able to veto certain sites because potentially the home stadium just might not be big enough. And the idea would be there would be an alternative venue, nearby, perhaps a pro team stadium nearby or some kind of alternative. I'm just imagining if you get a small unexpected playoff breakthrough team, which would be exactly what I think a lot of people were hoping for. Sometimes they may end up in a position where the venue may not be able to reach that. And sometimes you'll see that. I know, I believe in professional soccer and things like that. But anyway, our guest is here. JD, do you want to go ahead and give us a quick introduction as I go ahead and let her on?
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Shannon is one of four women who leads equipment management teams through FBS football. And there was a great moment when Nevada was playing New Mexico State this past weekend during week zero. Got a fantastic moment to see the two women who lead those two departments. And we saw a lot of really strong social media response to seeing Shannon on air. And once we saw that, we knew that we need to have a conversation with her because we love to talk with athletic directors. We love to talk with football coaches. We love to talk with newsmakers. But one of the things that we love the most is talking to people who actually make college football happen. And equipment managers are the ones who get that done. So I know that she is on here. And Shannon, thank you so much for coming on and joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
So first and foremost, let's go ahead and start with just a basic bird's eye view. We hear that when you're an equipment manager, you're obviously managing equipment. But from that bird's eye view, what is your general responsibilities in making sure that football happens for the Nevada Wolfpack?
So pretty much everything. So as equipment managers, we're the ones who are the behind the scenes of all teams. For me, it's football. So that's going from making sure they have workout gear, practice gear, helmets to practice in, helmets to play in, make sure all their equipment fits right, cleat styles based off their weight and position. So a lot of people, and even when I was younger, like you just look at a game and you're like, oh, like the players take care of their own stuff. It just magically appears out on the field or in the locker room. But there's like a whole team behind that that literally puts everything out for the players to compete and then for the coaches to coach.
So, Shannon, just quick question here. I know you, how big is your department?
So I have, so myself and then my assistant Gabby, and then we have about, I want to say between 10 and 12 student managers that work under us. And then I think about 60 to 70% of them are female. So ever since I took over this role and position, we've had a lot more females kind of get involved and more interested too, which is kind of cool to kind of spread the wings and have us kind of, revolve around the sports and let people know it's just not a boys' sport.
Absolutely. And just out of curiosity, what brought your interest to pursuing this?
So I've always watched football. Like I grew up every Sunday watching football with my dad, watching the Packers. So I've always like grew up with football. And then so I never played any sports in high school or when I was younger. I was just more so like wanting to spectate and watch and kind of just observe. But in high school, I managed our high school wrestling team and then our football team. So I was like the first person, girl, boy, whatever, that managed our football team. So we kind of had to get approval from our AD at the time and kind of see if this was something that could happen. And then obviously it worked out. And then I wanted to go to school to be a nurse, but once I kind of got involved with football in high school, I wanted to kind of be more so, like, do it in college too. So my offensive coordinator, or excuse me, my head coach at the time at the high school knew the offensive coordinator down here at Nevada. And so he was able to link me in that way and get me connected, and then went through a little interview process and then got me to where I am today.
I know that you took this job early in the start of the pandemic. Now, granted, you have a huge difference from when you're going from high school equipment management to college equipment management. But what would you say have been some of the differences that you've seen in preparing a team as you've gone through a couple of years and getting those additional years under your belt?
I think so. It's been nice because I started at Nevada as a student. So I kind of worked my way up from there. So as a student, and then once I graduated, internship, and then the year after that, promoted to assistant. And then the year of COVID, was promoted to head of football. So it was like, I was so nervous taking over that position in 2020 because I felt like, oh my gosh, I was 23 at the time, I believe I was. So I was young. So I was like, there's no way. Like, I don't know if I know everything. But I learned best pretty much just getting thrown into the fire and, like, doing things hands-on. So I think the position really helped me, set me up for success pretty much. Like, learning things how I am. I have a bunch of friends in the equipment manager world that I was able to reach out to, ask for advice, ask for, just ask pretty much anything. Just kind of help me get an understanding on stuff that I never had to really focus or had control of, such as, like, budgets. So it was a great way for me to learn. I've always been that way, even in high school, just kind of getting thrown into the position and or thrown into whatever the case is and just kind of learning that way and being super hands-on. But I think just I did a lot of research, and I still do. Like, I try and keep up to date with all the reports they talk about with helmets and technology changing and just everything, just to kind of keep my knowledge up to speed with what's going on and kind of have more an advantage, so when an athlete sees something, I can kind of help them understand it or answer any questions they may have about a certain footwear product or helmet or whatever the case may be.
You know, you brought up something that I always find fascinating with people who are on the leading edge of kind of what they do, like yourself being one of only four women who lead equipment departments in FBS. Who have been some of those people who empowered you, helped you kind of reach the position you're in? Because a lot of times, you know, in any career, people have those who help them and kind of inspire them to get to where they are.
I would say my mom. So my dad passed away when I was 8. So my mom, so she really was one that always supported me in my wishes and dreams, pretty much like never like had any doubt. Like she knew once I had set my mind or goal to something, that I know I could, she know I could achieve it. So having her really back me up and support me, and you know, there's always people out there that still think that like females shouldn't be involved in sports, especially football. So having her, having my back all these years definitely like made me motivated and just kind of made her proud. And you know, pat on the back for her raising me to where I'm working my dream job now. So definitely my mom for sure.
Shannon, you mentioned some of the dreams that you've had and making sure that there is a place for women in sports. You've also mentioned your fandom with the Packers, and I understand that you have a couple notable accomplishments in working for the Packers at one point.
Yes. So in 2016, I was in my third year of college. My old director at the time knew the head guy, Red Batty, at the Packers, which is a very common name in the equipment world. Everyone knows who he is. So he reached out asking my director at the time if he knew of anyone that would be interested in getting some NFL experience. So, of course, like me being a Packers fan and having a couple years under my belt, he threw him my name. So I got in contact with Red and I was able to work the preseason game in 2016. And then I was able to help with the 2017 wild card game in Lambeau. And then most recently in 2019, Sunday Night Football against the Niners at Levi Stadium. So I've got a couple games under my belt. With COVID, it kind of put a halt to everything just with how strict rules are and whatnot. So I'm hoping I'll be able to eventually help out with them again once things kind of settle down a little bit more and I have the opportunity to do it. And then obviously my dream goal is always to work with the Packers one day.
obviously working with an FBS program and then working with NFL programs, what do you learn from that opportunity working with, you know, the top level of all of football, which is the NFL? How, I mean, because those of us who aren't familiar with equipment departments, and I've had an opportunity to visit some as I've toured campuses over the years, I don't think a lot of people appreciate all that gets done. How would you, for those of us who don't get it, what would be, how would you quantify that difference between the level of obviously a team like the Packers and what goes on at an FBS level?
So when I worked my first game in 2016 with the Packers, I was so nervous. I was like, I'm not going to know what to do, like how to just, you know, I don't know how things are going to be ran. But there's really not that big of a difference. Like pregame is pretty much the same thing. Locker room setup's the same thing. They still fly their stuff or they still have a truck to take their stuff back home after the games. So all like the logistics of the game itself, both between the two different levels of football, are the same. I would say, obviously, with the NFL, the guys are a lot bigger, stronger, faster, so the game is quicker. But relatively, like, equipment-wise, it really wasn't that much of a difference. So I was kind of shocked in a way to kind of see it in that aspect. But obviously, too, with the NFL, these guys, like, the NFL is their job. So they, you know, not saying that college football players don't take it seriously, but definitely in the NFL, it's more like, all right, this is my job. If I screw up or I do something wrong, then that's my job on the line kind of thing. But logistically and, like, with the equipment stuff, it's pretty much relatively the same, which I thought was really interesting, too.
Shannon, tomorrow the Nevada Wolfpack take on Texas State at home. So I imagine you've already had a pretty busy day with getting prepared for that. What is a day before a college football game like for an equipment manager?
So it definitely depends if you're home or away. It's a lot easier when you're home, obviously. But for example, today we had our guys breaking in our Navy helmets that we're going to debut tomorrow. So they got fitted, came in and had any adjustments that needed to be made with us. Had practice, obviously laundry, the glorious part of the job. And then we are currently, me and my students are getting the locker room prepped for tomorrow. So they're setting out all the helmets, jerseys, their game loops, cleaning up the locker room. Me and Gabby, my assistant, will go through once more and just make sure the helmets are 100% tightened, all the decals are on, everything looks good and pristine. That way, when the players come tomorrow, literally the only thing they have to worry about is just getting dressed and not have to worry about any adjustments or if something's missing. Weight trips is definitely a different story. Usually we'll have our semi-truck, our 53-footer, drive all of our equipment to wherever we're playing, unless it's at Hawaii, of course. But usually for away games, we're responsible for loading, unloading the plane, before we even get to the airport, checking the players' gear bags to make sure their helmets are in there, cleats, shoulder pads, whatever they may need for the game Saturday. And then getting to the airport, unloading the plane, heading straight to the stadium, and then pretty much doing the entire setup at the stadium the night before. So obviously involves unloading the truck, getting everything to where it needs to be. Once everything's set up, just kind of going through once more to make sure everyone has what they need to compete. And then it's usually like set up to get it done how we like it. I'd say it's about a 3 to 4 hour process just to make sure everything looks great. So if our head coach walks in, he's like, okay, this is perfect. This is how I want it to look like, rather than just kind of throwing their stuff in their lockers. So it's long days. Even after fall camp, we're still here for 10 hours, 12 hours every day. But we love it, so that definitely helps. And then being able to be here for our student athletes is the number one priority.
How much, you know, specificity, how much personalization goes into setting up equipment for the players? Because I can imagine some QBs may have preferences on how they like their ball to be, how worn it might be. You know, I've seen them buff balls and things like that. Kind of brand new, fresh balls are sometimes not exactly what players like to use. How much, and cleat preferences and things like that, how specific do you get for the team?
I do anything to make the athlete compete to the highest level. So, for example, our quarterbacks, one likes one style of ball and one likes the other style of ball. So I make sure, like I sat down with Bones at Big Game a couple months ago with one of our quarterbacks, and we had a Zoom call, and he was explaining like, okay, this is what I want in my ball. This is what I would like to have based off like the stitching, the laces, the thickness of the ball, all this stuff. So we can, like, pretty much anything could be customized for footballs at least. And then for cleats, obviously, just depending on what position they are, how much they weigh, depends on what cleats they're able to be in. So obviously, if some guys want some more cushion, they can go in one cleat. If they need a little bit more support, they can go in another. So it's kind of like whatever they're most comfortable in. And I'll give them, like, hey, if you want to try out three different types of cleats to see what's more comfortable for you, they are more than welcome to try out three different types of cleats. And sometimes even two, some guys will try one cleat out for half the season and then switch it out at the end of the half of the season. So it's really just whatever makes them feel comfortable and well enough to be able to compete at their highest level. We try and get as customizable and personal as we can with them just to make sure they have the best experience, especially here playing college football.
Shannon, how often do you go replacing stuff? Like when you're looking at pads that get used, I mean, are you changing those out every single game, every three games, every season? Like how often are you actually changing out the equipment for this is stuff that we've used versus you need something brand new?
It kind of depends. So obviously helmets and shoulder pads have a 10-year shelf life. So once they have their born date, say it's in 2009, they can't wear that equipment after 2019. So I'm always going through our stuff every year just to see what is getting close to the end date mark, what may have a couple more years. If they have a couple years left, obviously we'll get it sent out to reconditioning. They'll check it to their abilities and make sure everything looks good. And then if it passes, they'll send it back out to us. If something doesn't pass, then obviously it'll get rejected, and then we can go ahead and replace it. Face masks, we go through the most, obviously, especially with your hitter guys, so your O-line, D-line, linebackers, running backs, and then some tight ends. So those guys tend to go through face masks a lot more than your corners, quarterbacks, etc. So usually, like, I try to make their helmet look game day brand new every week. So if I see a face mask that has metal showing or it's just bent or whatever the case is, like, I will replace it, especially if it's a bent face mask, because it's not going to be, it won't have its integrity as it did beforehand, which could affect how it fits and how it feels on the player's head. So it kind of just depends on the equipment. Cleats, obviously, once the spikes are starting to wear down, we'll replace those with a new pair. That way they can get broken in and get comfortable with those for games. We'll go through our helmets once a week, helmets and shoulder pads once a week, just to check up everything, do a deep look on around everything. If there's a clip or a buckle on a helmet that we need to replace, then we'll replace that. Pretty much anything to keep the players safe and make them feel protected as well, too.
Another thing that I'm curious on in terms of trying to make sure that things are replaced as they need to be replaced, every single week it seems like there's always going to be some new combination of color for jersey or pants or socks, helmet, whatever have you. How much decision-making does the equipment office actually get to have in determining that? Is that a coach's discretion? Is that an administrator discretion? Who gets to make the call on what equipment comes up?
Me and Coach Wilson, our head coach, we pretty much sat down a couple weeks before the season and kind of sat down and be like, okay, we want to wear this combination against this team. And it's pretty much like 50-50. Like, he wants to wear a certain combination against this team. Sweet. But then he'll also leave the rest up to me and be like, all right, what do you think? And I'll throw out some ideas, and maybe there's a combination that we haven't done before that we've been wanting to do. It definitely helps too with our school colors, with it being navy, silver, and then obviously white. So we can do a lot of combinations. And then obviously this year we brought back our navy helmet. So that gives an entirely different look of uniforms that we can do another combination with. So it's a little bit of 50-50. I know he's going to have the seniors pick a uniform too for a game this season. So he's super, like, obviously we want to focus on winning a game, but he's also about having the players have some say as well too. And for example, if, like, hey, you know, if we're going to play at an away game and it's a grass field, like, all throughout the suggestion, like, hey coach, like, maybe we can wear our navy pants, that way the grass stains are easier to get out, so on and so forth. So it's super nice that we both have those, pretty much, I guess, respect for each other. Just kind of, I'll take your ideas if you listen to mine, and then we can make it work and go from there. So it's pretty much between me and the head coach.
How much were you affected by, you know, COVID supply chain issues in terms of keeping the team supplied and keeping certain equipment? I'm just curious on that.
It was rough. Honestly, it was tough making sure everything was going to get in on time. Thankfully, as bad as it sounds, I'm very thankful that the football season got pushed back to an October start in 2020, because that really saved us with getting gear on time. Specifically, like, our coaches' pants or their sideline pants didn't come in until about the week before our first game in October. So that played a huge factor in, like, okay, some things we got right on time, there's no issues, but then there are certain things that did have some delays. And then even like last year and this year, everyone is still having issues getting gear here and on time. And it's been tough. Like, being an equipment manager the last three seasons has been super hard in that aspect, because you're also doing a lot of having to find like alternatives to things rather than what you ordered last November. But everyone, like, that's the one thing too with equipment, is everyone's helping each other out. Like, for example, if I need a certain cleat in a certain color, I can go ahead and reach out to, say, Fresno State, for example, and see if they'd be willing to send us a couple pairs. And then when I get mine in, I can send them whatever they sent me back, sort of thing. So that's one thing. Everyone's super helpful, and we're all here together to help each other out. So that's really – I think that's the most important thing, is just building good, strong relationships with everyone too.
Oh, I love hearing that. One of my favorite moments, and I'm sure this has gone down in equipment manager history, was that time where, I guess, was it Virginia Tech went down to Georgia Tech, and some of their jerseys didn't make it, so they had to borrow some of Georgia Tech's jerseys and kind of use Sharpie to turn them into Virginia Tech away jerseys. It was famous, because they actually had to scratch out, I think it was at the time, I forgot what it was, I think it was Russell, and they had to cross it out and put a Nike swoosh to make it comply with, I guess, their licensing. But that brings up a good point. How collegial, and you've kind of implied this already, it was a question I wanted to ask, how collegial is it among equipment managers and equipment departments across conferences, across programs? What do you, in addition to sort of helping each other out when they're short of things on the spot, do you guys trade, I don't know, helmet stickers? Do you guys trade other things? How does that work?
Oh, yeah, we definitely, you know, building our stock of, like, helmets and stickers and T-shirts, especially for the student managers. It's something really cool for them to do. So, like, for example, in our equipment room, we have a bunch of different helmets from schools that we've played against in the past. So it's kind of cool having the collection, and it's something that's really, like, the players, especially the new freshman kids or transfers that come in, they always look around and be like, oh, my gosh, you have an Auburn helmet, or you have a Wisconsin helmet, or whatever the case is. So it's cool being able to have those connections, and it goes further than just, you know, trading stuff too. Like, the conventions, everybody says that's their favorite time of year, because you can go ahead and connect with people you haven't seen in a year, 2 years, whatever the case is, whether it's with vendors or other people in other schools and different conferences. And sometimes, like, you'll connect with somebody that you will never play against or have the opportunity to play against, but then you're building that relationship that could always help you down in the long run too. So, like, when I was a student, like, my favorite thing was always trading shirts and decals with the other school, and just to have those, like, memories. Like, oh, I remember when we played that game, or I remember I met this person while we played that game. So it's really cool. Most schools are wanting and willing to trade and just kind of have that special connection with them too.
Out of all the stuff that's been traded, what has been your favorite thing that you've received?
I would say, we never played Wisconsin, but the helmet that we have in our equipment room, we did a trade with one of the Wisconsin guys a couple years ago. So my family's all from Wisconsin, so being able to have that helmet in our area, I think is super cool. But it's just, I don't know, every school's so unique. Like, I have a really cool Iowa State helmet in our equipment room that the head guy there sent us, because he used to work at Nevada here. So having those little specs are kind of cool, just to be, it's just more of like an attention grabber that people enjoy and kind of brings up a conversation and just kind of talking about how we got said things or whatever the case is.
Now, flipping over to the other side, the stuff that you've already had in that locker room, when you look at the silver and the blue, what's the favorite piece of equipment that you've had that Nevada has issued? And you've been able to say, man, I really love the way that this looks, or this performs, or this just makes me happy.
Ooh, I would definitely have to say our Silver Flake helmet. So me and Coach Norvell, who's now the head coach at Colorado State, created that color. So that was, like, really my first time being able to have something super unique. So it's pretty much Notre Dame's gold flake, but silver. So that's, like, that was my most, like, awesome. We kicked butt building this helmet and creating this color. Like, a lot of people are talking about it, and everyone's like, man, that's such a cool helmet. So I would say our silver flake helmet definitely is my number one choice. And then in talks of that, me and Coach Wilson kind of changed a little bit of it for this year to where instead of a silver nickel face mask, it's a navy nickel face mask. And then it has chrome navy decals. So it changes it up a little bit more. And I even like it now compared to last year too, just because it has more of a pop of color. So that's my favorite helmet that I have helped create so far being here at Nevada.
You know, speaking of Nevada, and we've been teasing JD about his pronunciation there. How much does that get to you when people kind of, because it's Nevada, gosh, I probably even said it at some time or another in this call. I sometimes get blurry. But how annoying is that to have to work with? We always, and we're saying this lovingly about JD, because we tease each other. I mangle names all the time, which is always awkward because my name is Bobak Kairi. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. But how often do you run into that?
Oh my gosh, that's one of the biggest pet peeves that we all have here. Even like former players, they're like, I know like Austin Corbett, he plays for the Panthers now. He's always like, it's Nevada. Like, I don't understand how people say Nevada. There's no duh in it. So everyone in Reno and around the area, always, that's like a tick for a lot of people. It's like, it's Nevada, it's not Nevada. But it's just kind of, it's crazy how just like different sides of the country, like how people pronounce things. A lot of the people who like grew up or around the West Coast area pronounce it Nevada. But then once you kind of get more Midwest, East Coast, people pronounce it Nevada. But it's Nevada.
Yeah, you know, you would think of, for someone who was born and raised in Hawaii and is so familiar with the Ninth Island in Las Vegas, I'd be a little bit more familiar and a little bit more sensitive to that. But regardless, though, I appreciate the correction on that, no matter what. But you did mention Reno and obviously with your work in Nevada. What has been like your biggest selling point of why someone would want to not just play at Nevada, but also be under your services and care as an equipment manager for the Wolfpack?
I would say, so this was one of Coach Wilson's biggest things too. The community in Reno and like all the Nevada Wolfpack alumni, current students, current players, so on and so forth, even staff, we're very close with each other. Like, it's just like a big family in our little community at Nevada. So that's one of our biggest things is like the players like feel that too. Like, they're always hanging out in our equipment room, you know, talking, whether it's doing homework or just hanging out between classes. Like, they almost want to be in there just because it's like a family to them. And then especially if a lot of them are from, you know, halfway across the country, like being like there for them, if they are going through something, it's really cool to feel that they feel comfortable talking to us about stuff. That even goes with like staff. Like, we hang out, me and like, my students will go out to dinner here and there. I'll go hang out with, you know, the GAs, get a dinner or whatever the case is. So we're always hanging out. And I feel like that's super rare. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I feel like with how close we are here with each other is like something that's going to be like super meaningful to me for forever. Like, a lot of the people that had left to go to other jobs, I'm still super close with, just because we had that close-knit family. And even, like, my students, they all hang out with each other almost every day after work because they're, like, each other's brothers and sisters. So it's something about it that just makes it different. And even the players, like, they'll, like, ex-players will always come back and say hi, even if it's just for a spring game or whatever the case may be. So it's really cool that Nevada has created that culture. And that's something that Coach Wilson was very adamant about and even praised when he took over as head coach, that this is home for him. And that's one thing that a lot of players will say and then continue to say for forever too.
Shannon, we want to respect your time. Did you have a few more minutes for a few more questions? It's been about 30.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And just as a quick sort of station ID, you're listening to RCFB Talk 68. We have a special guest, Shannon O'Hare, equipment manager for the Wolfpack. You know, the moment in the broadcast that caught our attention, or that great moment with you and New Mexico State's Paulina Mihelic. You're half of the women who are heads of equipment management departments in FBS. Have you two met before? And what was it like to just sort of both be at a game and be on both, representing both sides of the field?
So we never met before, but I do remember seeing her when we were at our national conference in Vegas in June at the AMA. So when we actually like officially met each other, I was like, oh, I remember seeing you when we were down there. But it was super cool. So she really didn't have an idea that we were going to have like this little snippet on ESPN. So when I told her that, she was like, oh my gosh, like that's so cool. So we were just talking about, you know, like obviously there's always struggles and like we have to figure out our own way just to get things done, but we figure it out one way or another. So it was really cool like connecting with her and, you know, she's super young, I'm super young. So being able to kind of open these doors and these opportunities for other females that are kind of essentially like looking up to us is awesome. And it's such a cool feeling that like, you know, like anyone can do this job. It's not just males. It can be females too, no matter how small, big, whatever the case is, like you can do it. Like there's no job that's too big for you to do. And it was a really cool moment. They grabbed us during pregame. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I've been running around. Hopefully the camera's far enough away. But it was a really cool moment that they did that snippet and how they were just talking about how it's super unique and we're one of four females. It was something that was a really just truly just like awesome, I guess would be the best way to explain it. Like you really don't like feel that until I guess you get recognized nationally per se. Like, yeah, we know like this is our job, whatever, we're here to do work. But then when someone like ESPN like announces it and has a little snippet about it, I'm like, holy moly, like that's pretty cool actually. So it was a really cool moment for the both of us and something I'll definitely remember for forever as well too.
Shannon, one thing that really strikes me is that you have a lot of women who also work underneath you. And I know that, you know, when we talk about there's four who are heads in FBS, that always to me is a very shocking number, given the amount of support staff who really make the enterprise of college football happen. What would be the best and most supportive ways that we can make sure that women are more included in that limelight of football?
I would say just having like knowing, ooh, that's a good one. I would say like just knowing that you can do it too. And it helps like working with teams and coaches and administrators that support you too. Because I know there's still a lot of like change that a lot of people or places aren't accepting of. But it's awesome having that support. Like when Coach Wilson came here, he came down from Oregon. So Kenny up there was his equipment guy. So it's always like, okay, like, is he going to be okay with this? Like, you know, is he wanting, you know, you just kind of have to feel it out. And obviously he's been wonderful and has loved us helping him out. And even when Gabby was promoted to the assistant, I sat down with him and I was like, all right, just making sure like you're okay with like two girls running your equipment room, right? And he's like, oh yeah, that didn't even cross my mind. I have no doubt that you guys are going to be able to do everything and get it done and whatnot. So it's really, it helps having support from other people too. And even like going back to Red with the Packers, like when I worked that game in 2016, he came down and talked to me during the game. He's like, you know, you're the first female to be hands-on with the Packers, right? And it took me a second to kind of grasp what he just said. I was like, what? I was like, really? And he's like, you're the first one that's actually been hands-on with the team. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's so cool. Like I had no idea. So it's definitely becoming a lot more accepting. And even for the trainers and stuff too, and strength coaches, like we are assistant football trainer. She's a female. We had a strength intern here last year who's a female. So it's definitely it's beginning to get more recognized and just people like just are more willing to take a chance and like know that we're going to get our job done and done right. And that's what we're here for sort of thing. So it's definitely helps having the support of people around you that help support, whether it's admin, the players, like spouses, significant others, friends. It's just awesome to have that support too.
I have to ask about one of the most spectacular rivalry trophies that I assume you have to deal with, the 545-pound Fremont Cannon. Have you had a chance to deal with it what is it like having to work with something that enormous?
Oh yeah, it's a pain in the butt to move, but it's also something that's super cool, and that's something that I always like watched growing up, watching Nevada football, saying like, okay, we're playing Vegas, like we're either gonna keep the cannon or gonna get it back. So it's beautiful. Like it's one of the most unique trophies in college football, definitely the biggest. So it's super cool that it's just not some like plaque or whatever the case is. It's something that's big and super unique that it's hard to miss. So for example, like this year, when we play at Vegas at UNLV, we'll take it on the truck with us. That way, if they were to beat us, they get the cannon and they paint it red, and then they're in charge of it for a year until they play us again. So it's either we're bringing it to bring home, which should be the outcome, hopefully, or we're bringing it to leave it there. So it's something that's super cool. And usually, like years past too, some of the players will kind of like engrave little writings underneath the barrel part. So it's cool because sometimes people don't know about it. So they wrote in like little hidden messages over the years that people won't find until like 2 years later. So it's a really cool trophy to have a part of the program, and people know about it kind of thing too, which is super cool, but it's beautiful. It's something that's really cool to see in person, and it's gorgeous.
Speaking of large items and things that you'll have to deal with, I'm really curious, out of all the guys that you've got in there, like what's the biggest shoe size that you have to deal with, or at least like the biggest size in jersey or pants or whatever else you need to deal with? Because I imagine, you know, you've got offensive linemen who are 6'6", 350. You've been working with some massive equipment like that.
Oh, definitely. One in particular, Austin Corbett, I mentioned him earlier. He had, I think if my memory serves me correct, his left shoe was a size 16 foot, and then his right was a size 17, one of the two. So he was a whole size difference between the 2 feet. So we always had to make sure we had two different, like basically two cleats set aside for him so he can get, or essentially four, so he can get one of each size depending on the foot that he needs that size for. Now, we have a lot of guys in size 15, 16 cleats. And I think we have one guy in a size 17. Shoulder or helmet, we have this one player, Kay. He has so much hair. It's beautiful. But we're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to fit you in your helmet? But we were able to get it to work. So it's crazy too, because like for me, for example, I'm 5 foot nothing, barely 100 pounds. So like even, you know, standing next to them on the sideline, it's a huge difference. Like Nate Cox, he's one of our quarterbacks. He's 6'9", and I stand next to him, and he can pretty much put his arm on my head and have it be like a little rest for him. So it's crazy to kind of see how big some of these guys are versus how small I am. But gear-wise, it's nothing too crazy. It's nothing like super extravagant. Mine is Austin. That's something I'll always remember too. I was always making sure we had cleats for him for both of his feet.
So quick question, and I think JD's going to have one right after me, but what's been your favorite away game experience or most interesting one? Because you've been to now a lot of different venues. Is there one that sticks out the most?
I would say Texas A&M in 2015. So that was my second year of school. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, like whether if I wanted to be equipment or do nursing or whatever the case was. But once we went to Texas A&M, I was like, yep, this is what I'm going to do. Like playing in front of, I think it was like 102,000 people and seeing their facilities, and just, it was literally just amazing. Like you can't describe it. It was beautiful. So I would definitely say A&M is my number one, but we also got to play at Notre Dame in 2016, I believe it was. And that's just like historic, you know, it's just a beautiful stadium. So just being at those bigger schools and kind of seeing what other schools get to play in and around every week or whatever the case is something that's just incredible. But definitely A&M would be my number one school that I was just like, wow, I'm just completely blown away.
Shannon, this has been an awesome conversation, and we've gone a solid 40 minutes. We have really appreciated your time, and I want to ask one last question before we go ahead and let you go. You know, we've talked before about the amount of women who are in support staff roles, the amount of women who should be in leadership in those staff roles. If you have any advice to any young women who want to get into football, who want to get into athletics, who want to get into college sports, what is that advice that you give them to follow a path to make sure that they belong as well?
I would say just do it. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Like, you can do any job that you want, that you have your mindset on, and just do it. There's so many people, especially in sports, that know people. So the amount of connections that one another have can help you get your foot into the door, whether it's at a JUCO level, a D3, NFL, whatever the case is. Like, people know people. So if it's something that you think that you would never have the chance, they're going to brush me off because I'm a female, like, absolutely not. There's so many people that are willing, just if they're there to help you achieve your dream, if that's your dream, just do it. And that's something too, like, I've had a lot of young females in high school that have actually reached out to me on social media asking, all right, what did you do? How did you get involved? Like, what's your advice? So it's really cool, even like people across the country I've never even met before, I've had the opportunity to kind of talk to them and give them advice and everything like that too. So I would just say, just do it. Like, there's, like, if you have your mindset on it, just do it.
That's great. Thank you so much, Shannon. This was a really interesting talk, and I think a lot of people take inspiration from what you and your colleagues are doing right now to put teams on the field. And I know, frankly, we could have kept asking you a bunch of questions, because some of the nitty-gritty of equipment management is absolutely fascinating to me. I've enjoyed every opportunity I've had to see what gets done. I mean, we didn't even get into, like, the portable sewing machines and, you know, the emergency fixes and all of that stuff. That for another talk, another day. But we know you're busy. We know you got a game coming up. We just appreciate the time you took to spend with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out to me and doing the little post about me and Paulina. So that was super cool to see. I'm like, oh my gosh, my phone was blowing up during the game. And I'm like, I can't check it, but I'll check it when I get a chance. And I saw that, and I was like, what? This is so cool. So I really appreciate you guys reaching out and kind of talking about me and Paulina and just kind of spreading the word out there for us.
Absolutely. Thanks again, and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So thanks to all of you who've been listening. This was RCFB Talk 68. On behalf of myself, Bob Akhayeri, on behalf of J.D. Moore, we thank Shannon O'Hare for joining us, and good luck with the Wolfpack this weekend, where she is their equipment manager. Now, I'm a hang up and listen.